You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh radio program. And it is Friday, and I need a refreshing from the Lord. I am one tired puppy this morning, and so we want to thank you for joining us. We're going to dive into the Word of God. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 29. We're going to be in the very last verse today, verse number 35. We're going to talk a little bit more. We're going to make some more progress in our message here that's called Turning Turmoil into Triumph. So far, we've focused on the turmoil. Today, we're going to talk about the turning point, the transformation point. And on Monday, we will show what triumph looks like. And so then we'll move on in our topic. Right now, our real priority is focusing on how important it is for us to praise the Lord. And a lot of times people want to let their feelings dictate whether they praise the Lord or their circumstances. You know, if they don't have anything else to do, you know, if they like a particular song, well, I'll praise the Lord because I like that song. I'm not going to praise the Lord right now because, you know, I don't like that song. And so if you go to churches across America, instead of seeing people praising the Lord, a lot of times you'll just see them there stoic, not doing anything. And I want you to know that you don't have to sing to praise the Lord, but it does help. And it doesn't matter about your vocal abilities. You're not there for a performance on, you know, American Idol or The Voice or America's Got Talent or any of that sort of, you're there to praise the Lord. And he's, you know, the scripture says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. So he has this tremendous sound system technology. You know, singers now are blessed with technology. It's called Auto-Tune, and it can make their voice sound better than it actually is. And I'm here to tell you, God listens. He doesn't listen to our vocal performance. He listens to the expression of our heart. And so that expression should be an expression of praise. So wanted to take just a moment and invite you to Merritt Assembly of God. And we're at 165 North Grove Street. We're a smaller congregation with a big heart. We are blessed to be a blessing. We want to be a blessing to God. We want to be a blessing to our family. We want to be a blessing to the church. And we want to be a blessing to the community. And it's in that order. And, you know, if that sounds like a church that you would like to be a part of, we have seats available, let's put it that way, and we would love to have you come and join us and see if God would lead you to the perfect place for you. Not everybody is going to be a perfect fit for Merritt Assembly of God. And so we don't pray that everybody comes to Merritt Assembly of God. We want to pray that everybody is led by the Spirit of God to exactly the right place where they are going to thrive in their maturing in Christ as well as thriving in their serving the King. And so we're, you know, there, I know people that they could not thrive in a church our size. I had a person that attended and was actually on staff for a short period of time. He couldn't survive in a small church. He needed a big church. He needed a group of people around him, and so that fit didn't work out well. It wasn't that I ran him off. He's like, I can't do this. I got to have a group of people. But there are some people who prefer smaller churches. We just want to pray that God leads you to exactly the right place where you are going to thrive in your walk with Him and in your serving Him. So to Genesis 29, verse number 35, and it said, "And she, Leah, conceived again and bore a son and said, 'Now I will praise the Lord.' Therefore she called his name Judah. Then she stopped bearing." So just a little bit of recap. Leah was not as beautiful as her younger sister, Rachel. Jacob fell in love with Rachel. Laban, Leah's father, did not think that she was pretty enough that he was going to find anybody who would want to marry her, much less provide a dowry for her. And the dowry for Rachel was 7 years worth of work. And so Laban swindles Jacob. Jacob wakes up the morning after he's married Leah, and he says, "What'd you do to me? You know, how would you like to have that as a shock and awe revelation, and you're the person there, and you're saying, 'Oh no, this is not going to work. He hates me.'" So he ends up working another 7 years for Rachel, and Rachel is not only got the looks and the countenance, but she's also got Jacob's heart, and she's got an attitude. And she starts, you know, dictating the terms to Leah. And so Leah has recognized she's unloved. She starts having children. And she starts naming them. "Surely God has seen that I am unloved. Surely God has heard about my afflictions." Then Levi means, "Surely my husband will become attached to me." Now, that's what brings us to where we are right now. Nothing in Leah's life has changed other than she has three children now. There's been no change in Jacob. There's been no change in Rachel. There's been no change in Laban. It's just Leah, and the transformation, the turning point, doesn't happen in the other people in this complex relationship. It happens in Leah. And what she does when she is expecting her fourth child, she no longer focuses on, "Surely my husband will do this. Surely my husband will do this." All of this production of children has not changed the relational dynamic at all. And she said, "So I'm going to change my focus. This time, I'm not going to look for change from Jacob. I'm going to change, and I'm going to praise the Lord." So the fourth child she names Judah, and it quite simply says, "Now I will praise the Lord." You may have had a very bad week. You may have had a horrible week. you're still here. Praise the Lord. You may have had transition or change. You might have had a loved one that passed away, but you had a loved one who passed away that you loved and God loved and they loved God and their name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life and they're now spending eternity in heaven. And I want to tell you that even though that is a painful valley to walk through, you can still praise the Lord because Jesus has defeated death. Leah said, now I will praise the Lord. I'm not asking you for a commitment today to praise the Lord. I'm just asking you to do it. You have to start someplace. So, Merit Assembly of God, you know, we've done a lot of renovating through the years. We did it step by step by step because we didn't want to go in debt to renovate a building. So we paid for it as we went. And that means that it takes a lot longer. So by the time you get done, then you start renovating again. And so I wanted to do things to where, you know, I didn't have to keep repeating them over and over and over again. But there was a lady that I ran into at a minister's meeting here last month, and she used to come to Merit Assembly of God, and I knew that she was going to another church. We ended up being at a minister's meeting at that church, and she was there. And I went up to her, and I said, you may not remember this conversation. I said, but I do. And I said, we were in the process of doing something. When she was there, she was, you know, very helpful in updating, you know, what we had to make it look as good as it could possibly look on the budget that we had. And the budget we had was, I guarantee you, less than what you would spend on your house. That we did not have much resource in those days at all. And she recommended a ceramic tile. And I said, you know, look around. There's not really anything in this building. I mean, at that point in time, one of the buildings looked like a garage, is the way that it looked like as far as the appearance on the inside. And I said, there's nothing in here that, I mean, it would be so lavish compared to everything else. And you say it's ceramic tile. It's not that much. I mean, it was a rough transition back then. And she looked at me and she said, Pastor Bob, we've got to start somewhere. And so I went to tell her about that conversation. And I said, I want you to know we did start someplace. We came in and I said, the place doesn't look like it did before. And began to describe some things. And she said, well, I'm in the area of the church on occasion, and I've often thought about stopping in and seeing how things were going. And so I told her, I said, hey, if this car's there, you're feel free to stop by anytime. But when it comes to praising the Lord, a lot of people want to procrastinate the same way that I did and say, look around you, there's nothing to praise God here. Well, the very fact that God is omnipresent means that even if everything in your life is a mess right now, that you can have God open your eyes to see that you are not in the mess alone. He's there with you. You can praise the Lord right now. If you are dealing with sickness or disease, you can praise the Lord right now that He designed our bodies to heal. But as a child of God, if I don't experience healing here on earth, I will be healed and restored and revived in heaven. So there's no downside to being a child of God. You can praise Him. And so it is not a matter of feelings. It should not be a matter of feelings. You know, where Leah was having dysfunction with every adult relationship that she had in her life, she found that there was God. I want to remind you here, it said, in verse number 31, when the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, He opened her womb. God was working on Leah's behalf and working in Leah. And at some point in time, she stopped seeking external validation and began to praise God because of who He is. We want to praise God for blessings. We want to praise God when things are going well. But I want to let you know that praising God in adversity, praising God before you see anything changing, will change you. So I preach this message not just because I did a word study. I preach this message because I've lived this message. So I had to come to the place that said, God, even though the church didn't have the financial resources, I'm going to praise You. God, even though there's not many people who are attending, I'm going to praise You anyway, because if You're here, it's okay if I'm here. And, you know, even though there were some personal relational challenges, you know, when my kids were growing up, I could praise Him even in the storm, because He was the one who could calm the storm and did calm the storm. So the tendency to want to procrastinate praising the Lord until another day, that is not an option. Shouldn't be an option for a child of God, because we don't praise God for what He's done. The best thing that we can do is praise God for who He is. And so praising God can involve thanksgiving. Praising God can involve blessing Him. And praising God involves worshiping Him. And it is what He is worth, what He's worthy of, that motivates our actions more than our feelings, more than what day of the week it is. It's who He is. It's His identity. Praising Him is what we should be doing no matter how we feel. There was a conversation that took place at our church here earlier in 2025. There was a technician that was there. He was doing some work. My office manager was getting ready to retire. He was talking about how You know, he was looking forward to retiring as well. And he was describing how on Sunday, he and his wife would wake up and they were like, oh no, we've got to go back to work tomorrow. And I understand that because it used to be whenever I was on vacation, because I'd have ministry to do when I got back, a lot of times I was struggling to enjoy my vacation because I was already staring down the pressure of, okay, I'm on vacation. I am in a different geographic location than what I normally am, but I've still got to hear from God. I've got to have a message. So I had to change the way that I do vacation. And now what I do is I start my vacation after I preach and end my vacation in such a way that when I come back, I'm not immediately faced with having to preach a message on Sunday morning and teach Sunday school. I give myself that respite of, you know, creating some margin in my life, and it's caused me to be able to enjoy a physical rest that can become a spiritual rest. And so my wife and I will finally get to go away and celebrate our milestone anniversary here in the near future. And when we do, we're gonna praise the Lord. The very first thing that we did when we went on our honeymoon is we prayed. We literally knelt down in the hotel room and we prayed for God to be honored in our marriage. We committed not only as individuals, but as a couple, we committed our family to God before a family ever existed. And when we did that, I didn't have a job. She didn't have a job. We had unexpectedly entered into a season of transition right before we got married. It's how I ended up selling shoes. And we praised God while we sold shoes, and we praised God when he moved us to Florida, even though it was a pay cut. You know, a lot of people make life transitions when things are, when there's more money involved. Almost every one of our transitions have been made to places where the financial reward was less, but it wasn't about the money. It was about the one who was ordering our steps and directing our paths. Leah is a great example that your life does not have to be perfect to praise the Lord. People don't have to be treating you right. I recently was teaching on out of Revelation in the church in Smyrna, which was a church that was being persecuted. There was a lot of tribulation that was going on, but it was a church commended by Christ, not corrected by Christ. It was encouraged. It wasn't discouraged. And I said, the devil intends for the problems that he brings into our life to pull us away from Christ. But if we will allow the problems to press us into a deeper, more anchored relationship with Jesus and praise him not just when the skies are blue, but praise him when the skies are gray and the wind is howling and the waves are tumultuous, and When it seems like everything is falling apart, you can praise God whose throne is unmoved, unshakable. He is the God who is immutable because there's nothing for him to improve. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You can praise him for bringing you through yesterday. You can praise him for what he's going to do forever. But as you praise him, you will also discover he is the one who will sustain you through today. Praise the Lord. As the Imperial Songs says, when you're up against a struggle that shatters all your dreams and your hopes have been cruelly crushed by Satan's manifested schemes, and you feel the urge within you to submit to earthly fears, don't let the faith you're standing in seem to disappear. Praise the Lord. You might think, wow, he's got those words written down. No, just on the tablet of my heart that says, I'm going to praise God on Sunday. I'm going to praise him when things are going well, but I'm also going to praise him if I can't find a glimmer of hope. I know that hope is still there. I don't know what your week has been like. My wife, you know, the company she works for, there's been this big time transition that's taken place there, and people hate change. Okay, Christians hate change. Non-Christians hate change. But, you know, unless you're going to change your old car into a new car, your old outfit into a new outfit, your old boat into a new boat, or anything like that, then all of a sudden people like change that they initiate. But when everything around you seems to be shaking, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Because he's not shaken. He's not changing. He's not panicking. And he's the Lord of your life, the lover of your soul. Everything that Laban wasn't, everything that Jacob wasn't, everything that Rachel wasn't, God was able to be there for Leah. One of the great promises in the scripture is that God says to the widow and the orphan, to the people who have no natural resources, no natural covering, no natural authority, said, I will be your husband and I will be your father. Whatever you are facing today, let God be the solution. And you, praise the Lord, it will change you and it will change your circumstances. We'll see you next week here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.